Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcasts at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with the schedule of English language broadcast, or it's simpler to use a computer or a smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports and find advice for listening to shortwave at home. Please check out the website and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle and Radio Havana, Cuba. We'll begin with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. In September of 2022, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was blown up, intended to deliver an increased supply of natural gas from Russia to Germany under the Baltic Sea. This was 7 months into the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It created an energy crisis in Europe, global petroleum prices soared, and the U.S. launched a massive delivery of liquid natural gas by ship to Germany. The U.S. blamed the explosions on Russia. Others said the U.S. was behind the sabotage, and last year U.S. officials said a pro-Ukrainian group was likely the culprit. Germany has issued an arrest warrant for a Ukrainian with a Polish address. The story is breaking as I produce this show. Last weekend, Israeli forces bombed the 20th school in Palestine in the last month. This one killed scores of civilians and has been condemned by governments and organizations across the globe. A spokesperson from the organization Save the Children reports on the deadliest attack on a school since October. A Deutsche Welle correspondent in Israel explains their justification for the precision bombing of displaced Palestinians sheltering at a school. Radio Deutsche Welle.
German media are reporting that prosecutors here have issued an arrest warrant for a suspect behind the 2022 explosions on the Nord Stream gas pipeline. It is believed that the Ukrainian man was one of the divers who allegedly planted explosive devices. Two underwater explosions were registered on the Nord Stream pipelines off the Danish island of Bornholm in September 2022, months after the start of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The pipelines were supposed to bring Russian gas into Europe, but were not in operation at the time of the blasts. DW correspondent Matthew Moore is standing by for us. Matthew, what more can you tell us about this arrest warrant?
Terry, this is a very significant development on a story that has drawn a lot of attention in the last 2 years. And the case had really run cold. And now, today, we've learned, according to German media, that in June, an arrest warrant was issued by Germany. A European arrest warrant was issued for an individual, a Ukrainian individual, with a link, with an address in Poland. As we heard, his name is Volodymyr Zed. We only know the first initial of his second name, according to German law. And this man is supposed to have worked with two other individuals, a woman and a man, all Ukrainian nationals, to have prepared the Nord Stream bombing in September in 2022. And until now, the German prosecutor has declined to comment on these reports this morning. So it's worth just pointing that out. But it's really a significant development because there hasn't been any news since early last year when German authorities searched a yacht on a seaside resort in northern Germany, which people believed that the German media found that those individuals had rented that yacht and used it to prepare this attack. And since then, there's not really been much news. So it's a hugely important development. But as I say, it's not been confirmed by the German prosecutor, worth really underlining that at this stage. And this pipeline project was hugely controversial because Ukraine, Eastern European countries said Germany shouldn't go ahead with it because it would make Germany too dependent on Russia and would remove the financial benefit that these countries and Ukraine served to reap from from the existing pipelines, and the US too was opposed to it. So it meant that there was a lot of speculation and conspiracy theories about who was behind this. And today we may be a bit closer to finding out who it is, if these reports are indeed correct.
Matthew, thank you very much. Our correspondent, Matthew Moore, here in Berlin.
The W's chief political correspondent, Nina Haase, told us more about the suspect.
We're talking about a Ukrainian man whose name is given to us as Volodymyr Z only. According to German privacy rules, we don't get the last name, and whose last address was in Poland. So German investigators believe that he was one of the divers who planted explosive devices on the Nord Stream pipelines. That arrest warrant has not been executed so far, though, because he's said to have already left Poland for Ukraine. Because, and I quote the Polish authorities, Germany failed to include his name in a database of wanted persons. That's what Reuters are reporting. So we're also hearing that German investigators have also identified two more Ukrainians, but there is no arrest warrant for these people yet.
What more do we know about them? German media are reporting that there are two more suspects, if I'm not mistaken.
Two more suspects, two Ukrainians, a man and a woman, and German investigators believe that they could have acted as divers in those attacks. No arrest warrants for them yet. Now, we all remember the reports that 2 years ago there was a German yacht that was sailing in that area, the German yacht named Andromeda, and it is well plausible, say, those media reports now, that those people have then actually dived and planted those explosives on those pipelines. It's very important to note in this context, though, that none of this has been confirmed by the German prosecutors so far. We have the information from the Polish authorities, but not from the German ones. They've declined to comment.
So this attack dates back to 2022. Besides that yacht that you just mentioned, what have we learned in the meantime about how this group of people presumably was able to carry out an attack on the pipelines?
Now, Germany, Denmark and Sweden all opened investigations into the incident at the time, and the Swedish investigators found traces of explosives on several objects that they recovered from the explosion site, which then led the Swedes to confirm that the blasts were in fact deliberate acts, so acts of sabotage. And in January last year, Germany raided a ship that may have been used to transport explosives, and Germany then told the United Nations that it believed that trained divers could have attached devices to the pipelines at a depth of about 70 to 80 metres. But so far, there had been no result as far as suspects go. Lots of accusations from Russia that were rejected by the countries accused. Lots of conspiracy theories too. And Denmark and Sweden then closed the investigations earlier this year with no result as far as suspects go. But the investigations continued in Germany.
Can you give us a sense of how important the Nord Stream pipelines were for Germany and Europe in terms of energy security?
Now, it's a significant development in this story, Nicole. Just remember that 2 years ago, Russia launches its full-scale invasion in February. European countries impose sanctions on Russia because of that. Russia cuts gas supplies in response. And then in September, the pipelines are sabotaged and we see those explosions. So the Nord Stream pipelines and those explosions were at the center of geopolitical tensions between Russia and Ukraine and its supporters on the other side then. And since then, there has been lots of speculation, lots of conspiracy theories, as I said, but the case had in a way run cold, and now we've got this. But again, it's worth noting that the German Federal Prosecution Service has not confirmed any of it, but on Wednesday, the government spokesperson said it's high priority to shed light on this story, that it is a matter for the prosecution and that it doesn't have any negative implications on Germany's relationship with Kyiv or change the fact that Russia is still waging war on Ukraine.
That was DW's Nina Haase. Brilliant speaking to you. Many thanks.
Well, Jörg Schmidt is one of the journalists who worked on this story. He's head of investigations at Germany's Süddeutsche Zeitung newspaper. Danish and Swedish authorities closed this case at the start of the year. How did the German prosecutor find out more?
Yeah, it looks like that they have received an intel information from another domestic intelligence service, which tipped them on three names, three divers that should have been involved in the sabotage. in the Eastern and the Baltic Sea. And the rest was more or less a kind of lucky punch. German investigators already had a radar photo taken in the night of the 8th of September at the island of Rügen, and they photographed people driving too fast in a white van and could identify them as well as a Ukraine van. Then they made, well, good criminal work, the investigators, and they asked the driver of the car if he knew this man, which, well, was already known for them as from the intelligence services. This driver could identify that person, this Vladimir Set, and this guy was also on this radar picture taken at Rügen. So the German general prosecutor in Karlsruhe said that he had enough evidence to, well, go after this suspect, right, and to write an arrest warning.
Who do you think this Vladimir Zed was working for?
Well, that's a good question. We don't have not found any link to, let's say, Ukraine state or Ukraine military. But of course, well, such a guy which has a deeply background in diving and especially as a specialist in deep diving could, of course, not do this, well, all operation by its own. So he needed logistic support. He needed support, knowledge about how to create or work with explosive stuff. And therefore, we deeply believe that he had some help from, well, maybe military background guys, maybe semi-military guys, but all the fingers point now at Ukraine.
If you're right, and this is somehow linked to Ukraine, and no friendly government to Ukraine wants this to get out, what do you expect to happen if and when Germany's arrest warrant for this guy is actually served? Do you actually think that it will be served?
Well, if this guy is in Ukraine and return to Ukraine, I think there's no real handling at the moment for German authorities to pick him. Of course, they could try to do a request to Kiev and ask them to assist and find this guy, but I'm pretty sure that would not happen.
Jörg Schmidt, head of investigations at Germany's Süddeutsche Zeitung newspaper.
Top EU officials have joined a growing chorus of condemnation after an Israeli airstrike on a school compound killed dozens in Gaza City. The EU's top diplomat, Josep Borrell, expressed his horror at the attack, which Gazan officials say killed more than 90 people sheltering in the school. Egypt and Qatar are demanding an urgent investigation. The U.S. has said it is, quote, deeply concerned about the strike. Israel has repeatedly claimed that Hamas uses schools as cover in the wake of the October 7th terror attacks. Alexandra Saya is head of humanitarian policy and advocacy at the organization Save the Children. I asked her what she has heard from her contacts in Gaza.
My colleagues this morning told me that there are still bodies trapped under the rubble of this destroyed school. Families have been picking up pieces of their dismembered family members in plastic bags. There are reports of more than 100 people killed, but it's difficult to verify these numbers because families are essentially picking up body parts. This is the deadliest attack that we've seen, likely since October, on a school. But we are seeing Israeli attacks on schools almost every single week in recent months. And it's important to note that the families that were sheltering in the school were there because they have nowhere else to go. So many buildings, homes in Gaza have been destroyed. Parts of Gaza are uninhabitable. And this is the only place that families had to try to seek refuge. It's just absolutely horrific. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is a normalization of something that should never be normalized.
Let's speak to DW's correspondent, Tanya Kramer, joining us now from Jerusalem. Tanya, we've just seen some of the footage of the aftermath of the airstrikes there. What has Israel said about this?
Well, Israel's military maintains that it was a place where Hamas and Islamic Jihad operatives were using basically as their command center, the school and mosque compound where people were forced to shelter. Many people have been displaced so many times and they're sheltering in those schools. Now, a statement this morning already said that the IDF, the military, had struck with precision-guided missiles. It also claimed, we heard this also repeatedly in other strikes, Hamas for operating within civilian shelters, basically taking people as human shields. And a military spokesperson also questioned the numbers that were given out by the health authorities in Gaza about the number of casualties. Now, having said that, this is not the first strike that we are seeing. The UN's Human Rights Office released a statement today and said they have recorded over 20 strikes on schools in the last month alone since July 4th. And they also have said, you know, while it is, of course, would be a grave violation if, according to international humanitarian law, if armed groups use these schools, also Israel has an obligation to international humanitarian law, and they have to look at questions like proportionality and taking precautions. So what we're hearing from eyewitnesses there on the ground, there are these casualties, there are many injured, they have burns, many have lost limbs, and this comes, of course, on the backdrop of a very difficult situation in Gaza's hospitals that have difficulties to deal with such mass casualty events.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com, as well as on YouTube at their channels called DW News and DW Documentary. Last year, I aired an interview with Seymour Hersh on the Nord Stream bombing. That was on March 3rd, 2023. That show is worth listening to again and can be found at Radio for All, that's radio number 4ALL.net. Search for March 3rd, 2023. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could help support this program like a very good supporter in Willits, California did this week, there's a link for online support available at my website, outfarpress.com, or you could write to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Many thanks to everyone who has ever helped keep this freely distributed show airborne. Please help me keep going. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. Concerning the election in Venezuela, the Attorney General presented a detailed report on right-wing attempts to disrupt the country. A Peruvian court dismissed a case against former President Fujimori for the 1990 to 2000 forced sterilization of 200,000 poor and indigenous women. The United Nations Special Rapporteur for Palestine says the latest Israeli military school bombing was further evidence of genocide using U.S. and EU weapons. The U.S. will send an additional $3.5 billion to Israel for U.S.-made weapons. The Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor found no evidence of a military presence at the latest school massacre in Palestine. The Palestine Ministry of Health says that nearly 500 medical workers have been killed in the Gaza Strip since October, along with 310 medical workers being arrested and 130 ambulances being destroyed. Radio Havana, Cuba.
In a joint meeting of the National Defense Council and the Council of State, the Attorney General of Venezuela, Tarek William Saab, presented a detailed report on the criminal and terrorist actions that occurred after July the 28th. President Nicolas Maduro, present at the meeting, contextualized these events within a pattern of violence that he attributed to right-wing groups, relating them to phenomena such as fascism and Nazism. In his presentation, the Attorney General said, quote, "It is my duty as a prosecutor and defender of human rights, that people see and do not forget the victims, because they have names, surnames, and mourners. Good Venezuelans, murdered by these terrorists who did not care about their family, he said. According to the Attorney General's report, 686 expert reports and investigative proceedings have been carried out. 84% of the deaths occurred between July the 29th and the 30th. 68% of the homicides occurred during the night. Between July 29 and 30, 25 deaths and 192 injuries were reported from various weapons. Saab said the deaths could be attributed to the so-called comanditos based on investigations and expert reports. The Attorney General denounced the instrumentalization of criminal gangs linked to terrorism and drug trafficking, claiming to have 170 videos as evidence. Quote, actions were taken to pursue and exterminate chavismo, hate crime, and to seek to exterminate people for their political orientation. Peruvian court has dismissed the legal case against the former dictator Alberto Fujimori, 1990 to 2000, a period in which forced sterilization were carried out on nearly 200,000 poor and indigenous women, local media reported on Saturday. The decision came a day after Parliament approved Law 32107, known as the Amnesty Law, which de facto decreased the statute of limitations for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed before July the 1st, 2002. The Fourth Superior Criminal Chamber declared the annulment of the act of opening a judicial case against Fujimori for the almost 200,000 forced sterilizations of women, which the decision overturning all of the findings, proceedings and progress of the case since 2021. During Fujimori's second government, the National Plan for Family Planning and Sexual and Reproductive Health was implemented, an initiative that promoted and carried out forced systemic and massive sterilization of rural, poor and indigenous women with the sole purpose of controlling the population.
The UN Special Rapporteur on Palestine says that Israel is committing genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip using U.S. and European weapons after the Israeli massacre at a school turned into a shelter in the war-torn Palestinian territory. Israel bombed the Al-Tablin school in the Al-Jahar neighborhood east of Gaza City, leaving more than 100 people dead, many more injured, early that morning. The genocidal crime has drawn international condemnation. Later in the day, Francesca Albanese, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the occupied Palestinian territories, strongly condemned the appalling massacre, describing Gaza as the largest and most shameful concentration camp of the 21st century. She said, "Israel is genociding the Palestinians one neighborhood at a time, one hospital at a time, one school at a time, one refugee camp at a time, one so-called safe zone at a time, with U.S. and European weapons, and amid the indifference of all civilized nations. May the Palestinians forgive us for our collective inability to protect them, honoring the most basic meaning of international law." Separately, the head of the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, Felipe Lazzarini, called for an end to the horrors unfolding under our watch, referring to the school massacre. "We cannot let the unbearable become a new norm. The more recurrent, the more we lose our collective humanity." The United States will send an additional $3.5 billion to Israel's billion with a B to Israel to spend on U.S.-made weapons and military equipment, according to the State Department. As the deadly genocidal war in Gaza continues into its 10th month, and amid widespread Israeli military abuses in the occupied Palestinian territories. The State Department spokesperson said over the weekend that the department had notified Congress that the Biden administration intended to release billions of dollars worth of foreign military financing to Israel.
An initial investigation by the Geneva-based Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor has found no evidence of a military presence at the site of the Al-Tabin school massacre in Gaza that killed more than 120 people. Quote, according to all available information and testimonies, there were no military gatherings or command centers at the school, and it was never used for military objectives. Survivors testified the school was providing shelter to hundreds of children whose families felt safe there, the Euromed said on Sunday. Quote, the narrow layout of the school and the lack of launch pads and shelters would make it impossible for the site to be used for military operations. The building's cramped layout and tight spaces make it unsuitable for military operations that call for planning and logistical assistance, the group said. The Palestine Ministry of Health says nearly 500 medical workers have been killed and hundreds more sustained injuries, this in the Gaza Strip, ever since the Israeli military launched its devastating war against the coastal sliver. The ministry said in a statement on Saturday that more than 310 individuals have been arrested as well, and 130 ambulances have been destroyed due to Israeli attacks. The statement added that healthcare facilities and their staff in the occupied West Bank have also come under more than 340 Israeli assaults during the same period. The ministry pointed out that the Israeli military's deliberate targeting of medical infrastructure in Gaza has severely hampered the local population's access to essential healthcare services. Poor water and sanitation conditions, compounded by overcrowding, have led to a rise in preventable diseases and premature death, this according to the statement. Quote, Gaza is now confronting a public health disaster due to unsafe water resources and lack of basic hygiene necessities for over 1.7 million forcibly displaced individuals, this according to the ministry. The statement also pointed out to a critical shortage of healthcare workers and medical supplies, including anesthesia and antibiotics, which has left healthcare providers struggling to save their lives in Gaza. The Palestine Ministry of Health finally called for the unconditional supply of humanitarian aid to address the severe shortages in Gaza and the unimpeded evacuation of wounded Palestinians to receive life-saving medical treatment abroad.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's website is working well at radiohc.cu. There's no podcast available, however. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, or 6100. At their website, radiohc.cu, you can stream the English version at noon, Monday through Friday, Pacific Daylight Saving Time. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. You do have to look harder these days because of U.S. and EU prohibitions on media. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find information for making an online donation. There's a link at my website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 28th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. For 27 years, the Shortwave Report has been produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm still recuperating from a spinal injury, so I'm staying at a house that is connected to the grid. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.